My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I am so happy to be with you today. Today is the first day of our new series where we are going to be looking at mother and father wounds. This is, bar none, usually one of the favorite topics of everyone who comes across this podcast when we look at just the underlying trauma and the importance of our relationships with our mothers, our fathers, our caregivers, aunties, uncles, authority figures, and the impact that it may have had in our lives. These relationships are our first ones into the world, and especially the one that we're going to focus on today, our mother wounds, if we have any. If we are listening and we can identify that there are still some sore spots that we need to work on, whether or not we are able to say that today we have a positive relationship with our mother, because I know that that is a common experience for many people. So maybe you did have a relationship that started off contentious, but as time, space, energy, experience, and maybe the growth of your mother, you were able to build a friendship that's real, but that still does not erase the real wounds that have happened before. And maybe some of you, it is still very contentious. It is still very hot and cold. It is still push-pull. She still says things or does things that are very hurtful. And no matter how you've tried to communicate what's going on, it still happens. Or maybe she's no longer with you anymore, whether or not she has passed away, whether or not y'all are in no contact, she's incarcerated, she is no longer mentally stable, so not even able to have these conversations at all. There are many ways to lose a mother who may still be with you physically in this world, but still be distant in so many other ways. So that's what we're going to get in today. We're going to talk about healing the mother wound. We're pulling from one of the first set of episodes that is from episode 93, where I talked about healing the mother wound. And so I do hope that you find this series helpful. I do hope that you find the healing that you need. And as always, if you would like to continue the conversation and talking about healing your mother wounds, you can do so in our BGH Members Club. You will find a worksheet for this week's episode, along with healing circle questions. If you go through the podcast episodes with a friend or with a loved one, with a sister, or maybe for some of you, maybe even your mother. Some of you may have evolved to a place where y'all can talk openly about these things. If you are not, by the way, if you are not at that place with your mother, we're just having casual conversations about things that may have been miscommunications in your everyday life now is hard. Do not try to talk about the contents of this episode or the things that we're going to discuss with her, because you're going very deep in a relationship that has already shown that it's not available for even the most insignificant things. So if you want to talk about these things, talk about it with a trusted mental health professional, with friends, loved ones, or family members that are safe spaces to do so. But if you are setting yourself up to have this conciliatory conversation with someone who doesn't want that or doesn't even see that there's a problem, you may be setting yourself up for heartbreak. Again, let's come and discuss this in a members club at blackgirlsheal.org/members if you would like to. But for now, we're going to go ahead and jump on in, and I hope that you find the contents helpful.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
Hello, ladies, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. So today's episode, I am talking about grieving, not having the relationship that you would want with your mother. At the time that this episode is coming out, is the week before Mother's Day.
And right now, there is a season of Mother's Day content that I have been sharing on TikTok. I've been doing a mini series on working through your mother wound trauma. I actually recorded an episode that was supposed to come out today, but it's going to have to come out next week because the original topic for today was about how to work through detachment that you may have with your daughter. So there are a lot of us who are mothers of daughters, and we may feel irritation with them. We may feel even some animosity and resentment towards them. No matter how much we love them, we might even feel some jealousy for some of us. But for a lot of us, we can even find that it's harder for us to attach to our daughters compared to our sons, and not knowing what to do with that, not knowing if that's just because of who our child is or if it is something else. And what I'm going to be sharing next week is that I think a lot of the detachment that many of us have who are mothers of daughters with our daughters is more about the trauma that we experienced that stops us from being able to connect to our own little girl, inner little girls. And by way of that, because we don't have that connection with ourselves, because of the trauma that we experience, we can have that disconnection with our daughters. And it's almost like we're recreating our trauma, not only for ourselves, but with our daughters, and our daughters feel that and they experience it. And then they grow up to be women who may struggle with connection with other women or with their daughters. And it's just a whole cycle. So next week's episode, I'm going to really be talking to any women who identify with what I just said. And if that's not you, great. I'm so happy. I hope that you are pouring a lot of love and connection and time and sensitivity and vulnerability into your relationship with your daughters. But for everybody else, where this may be a sensitive topic and you have maybe even felt some guilt around it, or it wasn't even on your radar until I just said it, and you're like, oh, she does get on my nerves a lot. And it sometimes it does feel like it's more than what it should be, more than the typical mothering is hard and building relationships with children when they can be children is difficult. Yeah, there might be some validity to that. But as I was prepping that episode to release it today, I was thinking there are so many of us who we are those daughters. We are those adult women who either had or still have contemptuous relationships with mothers that we may feel just don't like us as people, or maybe super critical with us, or maybe jealous of us and betray us and go around our backs and manipulate us and put us in between people. And they treat one sibling differently than us, especially if that sibling is a boy, or even if that other sibling is another female identifying person, but feeling ostracized by that person. And so just thinking about, for us as daughters, how triggering that episode would be. So I wanted to preemptively come in and talk about grieving the relationship that you wish that you would have had with your mother. Because I think even hearing those things said out loud can bring up some pain. Us as children, no matter how tragic or horrible the past has been, there's always a part of us that wishes it didn't have to be that way. That wishes that we could have just had a mom who was there, who was just there unconditionally, whether or not the conditions were premature death or addiction or mental illness or her just reliving her trauma and projecting her shame and her issues onto us and being a bystander when other things happen. There's no matter, even if we've had to emotionally and mentally distance ourselves from our mother, we don't outgrow wishing that we could have had her just hold us in her arms and just love us just because we are us. And thinking about that and feeling that can be very hard, and to say the least. It can be very hard and it can drive you crazy. It can make you feel like you're going in circles. And a lot of times what I see with the women that I support is they have this back and forth.
between, okay, my mom hurt me again, she betrayed me again, she did this again, that's it, I'm cutting her off, either legitimately not talking to her, or I'm going to act like I don't need her anymore, so I'm not going to call her as much, I'm going to create distance, I'm not going to go around. And they go this long period of time, as long as they can, longest relative to the person, but they go as long as they can with having this internal wall up until that wall comes down. Why? Because there's that part of us that always wants our mother relationship, because our mother relationship is our first relationship. And if we don't get it in our mother, a lot of times our mother wound is what leads us to these tragic, addictive relationships with other people, because that need to be cared for doesn't go away, y'all. Just because we try to act like it doesn't exist does not mean it's not there. And like I've said before, our needs always come out sideways when we do not acknowledge them. Okay. So you go through this time where you're like, fine, I don't, you know, forget her, I don't need her, or I'm just going to act like she's an acquaintance and go and try to get love someplace else. And then that period of time ends, and then you try again. You know, maybe mom is nice again, or maybe you're tired of having to hold that energy, and you try again, and the same woman she always was shows up, and you feel that pain, you feel that betrayal, you feel that rejection, you feel that abandonment. And so what I tell y'all to do, and what I tell my students to do, is we need to get to a place where we grieve the relationship that we wish that we would have had with our mother. And we can grieve someone who is still alive, we can grieve someone who is still physically with us, because there's still sadness. We can miss something that we wish that we had access to, and we can yearn for it. And so the way for us to move forward is to acknowledge that yearning, to make meaning from it, and then find ways to give to ourselves what it is that we need. So with that said, I'm going to go through, I think I wrote down 4 steps. There might be 5. There might be like a part B or something in here. But here are 4 things that I want to give you to do to grieve this relationship with your mother. This will be a shorter episode because the episode next week will be longer. Like I said, I've already recorded it, and I might do some edits, but for the most part, it's probably going to be longer in length. So I want to balance this out. And then also, shout out to my ladies at the Black Girl Bravado podcast. I'm actually going to be on their podcast this month. I want to say the second week of May. So after Mother's Day as well, where I'm going to be talking about mother wounds. So y'all got me in all these places talking about mama pain. So so let's do this shorter episode. And I hope that the women who need it find it helpful. So the first thing that you need to do to grieve your relationship with your mother is to be honest about the pain that you have. So I posted one of the TikToks on Instagram because I just wanted people on Instagram to know that I'm talking about mother wounds on TikTok. And someone posted in a comment, what if you never had a relationship with her and you feel no bond with her? And I haven't answered that person yet, and I guess I'm just going to answer it here. My thought is the pain that you had to go through as a young child to reach that point where you had to, in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, cut off any connection to her, or that she preemptively tried to cut off any bond with you. And the pain that must have been for you as a child. And going back to what I already said before, that mothering need doesn't go away. It's actually a living being need. You know, there are mothers in all species of the world, but especially for us as humans, we are needed to be cared for. So maybe the pain is not, maybe your honesty would not look like, man, I wish that Sandra Joy was around all the time, right? Maybe she really has done some horrific and horrible things. But maybe the pain is, I wish I would have had a mother figure. I wish I would have not had to create something outside of myself, that I didn't have to be so independent, that I didn't have to learn how to be a survivor so early on, that I didn't have to learn how to push all my feelings down and to go without. I wish I could have just lived life to be free and to have love that was given to me freely without me having to worry about this. I wish, and that might as you're honest about that, that might actually lead you into being more honest about what you wish could have been there with Sandra Joy. What you wish that she, what she would have chosen. If she would have chosen differently when it came to addiction or to boyfriends that she let inside the house or to choosing work over kids or choosing her anger over calming down or choosing whatever it was that may have been the pain point for you, her choosing to actually work to move y'all forward instead of staying in the same place. You know, there's so many different ways that all of our stories, y'all, are so unique. You know, I don't talk enough about the impact of foster care and whether or not it was by like a familial adoption or foster care, or that we weren't able to be in the house, but not being able to be connected to our biological parents can and does create wounds in many of us. Even if our foster parents and our adoptive parents are wonderful, there's still that kind of question in the back of your mind about what happened and why. If you've ever listened to an episode of Black Girls Heal and thought that was powerful, but now what? BGH Members Club is for you. Inside, you'll get ad-free bonus episodes and an archive library of all of our current episodes without ads as well, in-depth worksheets for every topic we cover, and special drop-in lessons to help you actually apply what you're learning. This is your space to reflect, grow, and make real changes in your healing journey. Join today at blackgirlsheal.org/members and take the next step towards becoming your healthiest version of you.
It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker with a website that fits your unique vision and drives you towards your goals. Let your ideas flow with AI tools that guide you, but give you full control and flexibility. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. Get everything you need to turn your part-time passion into a full-time business. Go to Wix.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you.
For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just go to GetCopperhead.com. That's GetCopperhead.com for your two free gifts with purchase. GetCopperhead.com.
Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
Hi, and what do they think, and what do they need, and what do they feel? And if you don't have continual communication with them, those unanswered questions can cause a lot of feelings, right? So my first suggestion, again, I said I was going to keep this short, is for you to be honest about what it is that you wish your relationship with your mother would look like. So just really quickly, to talk to the women who still have their mothers in their physical vicinity, and maybe you're constantly in communication with her, but because of some of the things I've already listed, the communication is very tense. There's a lot of conflict. She's stuck in her way. She doesn't see the error. So getting close can be harder, even though you're an adult and you can, in your mind, rationalize what's going on. You're openly trying to find solutions. So if that's the case, I want you to be honest with yourself about what it is that you wish that you could have. I wish I could talk to my mom without her talking over me. I wish that she would be nice to me. I wish that she would be more patient. I wish that she wouldn't keep secrets. I wish that we could spend more time together without her needing to have somebody else there. I wish that she would tell me the truth about this. I wish that she would tell me she's proud of me. I wish that she wouldn't prioritize one sibling over me. So many options, so many alternatives. I wish that she wouldn't run through money and always be asking me for money and be more grateful and not feel like I'm an ATM and not feel like I'm blamed for when she runs out of money if I need to say no. And, you know, these are all dynamics that I hear all the time. So being honest about what you wish your relationship was like. And then the second step is the most important step, which I also say often here on the podcast, which is for you to see your mother for who she is. Okay. So I wrote this down just so I can be clear and not miss it, but you need to see your mother as a person who has experienced trauma, who has learned her own coping mechanisms. And until she's able and willing and wants to work through that trauma, she's going to keep doing what she's doing because it's what has worked for her. It's what she knows. She most likely also grew up in a place and time and generation where, you know, there's not really a lot of openness for exploring different things unless she has started doing her healing work. I know that there are women of all ages and all generations who listen to this podcast. So shout out to everyone, no matter where you are. I love getting messages from women who are from teenagers who are in high school. And I love getting messages from women who are in their late 60s and, you know, really working on themselves. So it's just, I love it. But back to the point of this, you know, your mother is a whole human being who's had a whole lifetime before you and has a whole lifetime of memories, good and bad. And what you may be asking of her may be too much. And it may be too much because it may trigger her to go back to what she experienced. It may be too much because for her to open up to you means that she's opening up a whole can of worms and a lot of things that, again, you have no awareness of. And so I want to be clear that that's not for you to go back to your mom and play therapist, because it is not your job. If you wanted to go and share what you're learning about yourself and planting seeds, okay, you're communicating what's happening for you. But if you're doing it with pressure and with intention to try to push someone who may not be ready to make movements, you're doing an injustice to her. Again, a whole human being who's had a whole lot of life and a whole lot of experiences before you came into this world. And you're doing a lot of injustice to you because it's giving you too much responsibility and it's giving you too much ownership over whether or not she gets free and whether or not y'all get close in a relationship. Most likely that could even be a carry on from a lot of the emotional burden and a lot of the emotional heavyweightness that you had to carry growing up that you're still doing in your 20s, 30s, and 40s and 50s, you know? So it is seeing your mom that she is someone who has created all these coping mechanisms around her trauma. And sometimes those coping mechanisms can be lighter in effect, and I'm going to list some things. So when I say lighter, it does not mean that it's not hurtful. But as you see, as I start listing them, they're going to get heavier as far as the consequences and the impact. So maybe her coping mechanisms look like her being a little bit flaky, not always following through with things. Maybe she can be very insecure. Maybe she can feel like she always needs to be right about things. Maybe she can be a little bit selfish and want to do things only for her. Maybe the middle range type of actions look like her insulting you and her being super critical of you and not esteeming you and always having something negative to say, which again, super hurtful, especially if your trauma has been emotional neglect, emotional abuse, mental abuse, and it's really affected your sense of safety and wanting to feel open with people in general because that's how you grew up. Again, that is real pain, real legitimate pain. But the reason why I'm calling that middle of the road kind of things, for lack of a better term, is because there are really dangerous coping mechanisms, really dangerous behaviors that your mom may have picked up because of her trauma. So this can look like her actively manipulating you and using you. This can look like her siding with perpetrators and abusers in your life, past and present, because her trauma is there were so many abuse was normal. For women to be abused was normal. For women to be discarded was normal. For perpetrators to be sided with and protected was normal. And so she's done it before. She continues to side with people who are harmful to you, no matter what she sees with her own eyes. It could look like her being sexually abusive to you. I have not talked. I never released the former podcast interview that I did with someone years ago with my old podcast, with my Love Junkie podcast, where I talked about where the guest was a therapist who specialized in treating adult victims of sexual abuse. And I specifically had her on the podcast to talk about healing when your sexual perpetrator, sexual abuser was a woman, is a woman. And we don't talk enough about that. We don't talk about how real that is and how commonly it happens and the blame and the ways that we will self-gaslight because, well, it can't be that, or maybe that's not real because it's a woman. But no, it's very real. And so seeing your mom for all of these things, all the ways that she presents, and seeing this is who she actually is. And with that part, y'all, I need you to look at if there was a person on the street who had these qualities, like, yeah, maybe they're funny, maybe they're down to earth, but they have these coping mechanisms and these ways that they talk and these ways that they act, would I actually build a relationship with them? Just point blank. You can pretend that they were a coworker at your job. Would I have a relationship with them? And if the answer is no, then the next step is where we talk about grieving. We talk, we go back to that list from the first step. What are the things that I want in my relationship with my mom? I want to be able to talk to her. I want to be able to spend time with her. I want her to be honest. I want her to be self-sufficient. I want her to X, Y, Z. Now, once you see who your mom actually is, once you write all that down, compare those two lists, and can person number two line up to the person that you have in the person number one list? Do those two go together? Can person number two, who your mom currently is and who she actually is at this point in time in her life, can she do any of those things? Can she do one or two of them, but not the other eight? Or can she not do any of them at all? But you wish that she could, and you're trying to convince yourself that, oh, well, you know, it's not that bad when she says those things. I know she's just joking. I just got to leave the room. No. This is about you being honest about what's available for you and not living in fantasy, because these are the same patterns that we'll take into other relationships and other places. Okay. So once you have all that, then it's time for you to grieve the things that, that she's not able to show up for you for, and to let yourself be sad about that. Let yourself be angry about that. Let yourself talk about how it's unfair, and stop trying to make yourself not feel your emotions. The reason why, you know, you've probably felt this anger and sadness before, but you still keep coming back to it, is because you haven't moved to the place of grieving, which is acceptance. You're still in this bargaining stage where you're like, okay, I'm going to get so angry and so sad, but maybe if I go back, maybe after some time has happened, maybe once I take the kids away, maybe once I stop calling her and telling her what's going on, maybe when I don't invite her to my graduation, maybe when you're doing all these mental and emotional gymnastics, again, trying to manipulate the situation, which you probably did growing up a lot. You probably did a lot of thinking and feeling and yearning as a little girl to try to get your mom to be and do something that she is either not capable of doing, she doesn't know how to do, or she doesn't want to do. And this is your opportunity to let that go. And as you hear me say that, to notice the sadness that comes up for you and let yourself feel that. And instead of you going back to the bargaining stage, but to actually move to the acceptance place that this is what it is, okay? Now, with that said, the last thing that I'll say before I cut us off for this week's episode is those are still real needs. And so, you know, the reason why it comes out sideways and us looking to be mothered in these addictive relationships is because we still do need that care, that compassion, that person to listen to us, to hold space for us, to just pour into us and not take from us. We do need that, the word is a mentor, but it's that top-down relationship. Our side-to-side, our peer relationships, whether they be friendships or romantic or otherwise, is one level of intimacy and connection. But we all do need that beauty of being poured into. That's part of our innate yearning. So where do I go, and how do I start to look for creating that chosen family in other places? A lot of people find those relationships in church. And so there's it's usually an abundance of women who feel called and feel a lot of a pleasure in pouring into the younger women around them. There's also lots of women who find pleasure in pouring into and mentoring women under them in the workspace, and that can grow into something deeper, right? It's more just about you being open to those connections, and you already have a list of what it is that you want now. The first thing about being honest what you want, you now have a list, hopefully, of what it is that you're looking for. And so now you can have your eyes open for when those connections happen, and to practice some patience. I've referred back to this episode several times But the episode that talked about building female friendships, Danielle Ballard Jackson talked about how, what did she say? It takes 50 hours to make an acquaintance and 80 hours of contact to make a friendship? Or was it 50 hours to just make a friend and 80 hours to make a best friend? I can't remember. But either way, y'all, it is a full-time job. Because think about how many hours, like how many friend dates, how many chance encounters, how many events that y'all have to show up at together to make that 50 to 80 hours. And we want these things to happen overnight. And you have to build trust and build consistency for these things to happen. It has nothing to do with whether or not you're worthy of being poured into. It has nothing to do with whether you're funny enough or great enough or valuable enough. It's just, it takes time to build relationships. And that's where that self-acceptance and self-compassion that we talk a lot about here, that self-love is vitally important. Okay? So I hope that this helps the women who need it. I hope that you receive it, and I hope that this treats you well. I need to, because of the date, because we are starting next week, I do need to talk about our Love Woman Challenge that is closing this Sunday, which actually does correlate with this topic. You know, we learn how to love ourselves, and we learn how to not love ourselves from the modeling that we see and that we don't see from our mother relationships. And a lot of the detachment that we have from giving ourselves pleasure, for acknowledging, you know, one of the types of deprivation we're going to be talking about in our challenge and in the course is the emotional deprivation and the physical nurturing deprivation, how we will neglect ourselves in those areas. And so, and what do we do about that? How do we work through that? So if you are wanting to operate in this loved woman space and exiting patterns of love deprivation and walk into love worthiness, this month, in the month of May, I'm taking women on a 30-day journey of going deeper into this topic together. And so many of y'all have already signed up. I'm so excited. If you have not gotten your welcome email, please tell me. For some people, it's going to the spam and they're not getting it. So you should have got an email, hun. So, and if I'm emailing you and you're not getting the email, then to check if you got the email, that's why I'm staying here on the podcast, because all of y'all listen to the podcast. But I hope to continue to welcome more of you in. We start on May 1st, and there's still time to enroll. And it's one of our smaller programs, so it is accessible to everybody. You can enroll by going to the link in the show notes or by going to blackgirlsheal.org/theloved woman, or, you know, just going to blackgirlsheal.org and clicking work with us at the top menu and then clicking on the Love Woman Foundations. Make sure that you select the challenge, because one option is you just get the program and you can do it on your own. You keep it forever to come back to and learn and get all the updates and lessons as they are added. But then there's a challenge portion that includes the bonus lessons, and includes the community that we're going to be working together in, that includes the group coaching call. So that is it for now, y'all. I'm sending you so much love this weekend and beyond. And as always, I do hope that you take care of yourselves. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Black Girls Heal. If this episode helped you in any way, please be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and share it with someone you love. And if you're ready to go deeper and turn what you're learning about here into real life change, join us inside the BGH Members Club. You'll get ad-free bonus episodes, powerful worksheets about every topic we discuss here, and exclusive lessons to help you apply the healing tools we talk about. You can join today at blackgirlsheal.org/members. And as always, take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next week.